following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Penguin Mysteries. I'm your host, DJ Traumatized, and each week we'll uncover the secrets, mysteries, and dark tales lurking beneath that California surface. Get ready to explore the unexpected that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Stay tuned because the truth is stranger than fiction. Hi, welcome to my podcast where we delve deep into the minds of infamous American criminals that have graced the California surface. And today we'll be discussing the Zodiac Killer, a figure who not only taunted the police with cryptic letters and codes, but also left behind a trail of fear and a lot of unsolved murders. In this episode, we're going to explore the Zodiac Killer's crime in chronological order, speculate on his backstory, and try to understand what would cause someone to commit such heinous acts. Buckle up, because it's going to be a chilling ride. Part 1, The Zodiac's Early Life and a Mystery Itself. Now, before we dive into the murders and terror of the Zodiac Killer inflicted upon California in the late 1960s and early 70s, let's address the elephant in the room. Now, we don't know who the Zodiac Killer was. No one does. At least not officially. There's no definite backstory to speak of, no childhood trauma that we can point to. That's the part of what makes the Zodiac case so fascinating. It's believed that he was a male, likely born sometime in the early 1930s and 1940s. If we speculate, based on a profile drawn up by behavioral analysis, he may have grown up in a middle-class household, probably in California. He might have a difficult or detached relationship with his parents, probably a dismissive mother or an absent father. But these are all theories. From what we can tell from his later behaviors, the Zodiac may have been highly intelligent, likely someone who thrived on attention. He would have been the kind of person who was detail-oriented, organized, and enjoyed puzzles. We can assume he led a relatively quiet, unremarkable life on the surface, yet beneath that mask, normalcy, something dark festered. Part 2. The First Kill, Lake Herman Road. It's the night of December 20th, 1968, and David Farday and Betty Lou Jensen, two high school students in Vallejo, California, head off for a quiet evening together. It was supposed to be a romantic, low-key night. The couple parked late on Herman Road, a popular spot for teenagers. Little did they know that someone was watching them, according to police reports. At around 11 p.m., an unknown man approached their car, ordering them to get out. David was shot first in the head at point-blank range while steering near the vehicle. Betty Lou tried to run but shot 5 times in the back, collapsing dead on the roadside. The Zodiac's signature was all over this crime, cold, calculated, and shockingly brutal. But at the time, no one knew this was just the beginning of a much larger nightmare. The police initially treated this as a standard case of teenage homicide, not realizing that they were dealing with a bumbling serial killer. Part 3. Blue Rock Springs, the Zodiac taunts begin. Fast forward to July 4th, 1969. It's Independence Day, but the Zodiac has its own fireworks planned. Darlene Farron, 22, and Michael Begay, 19, were sitting in their car at Blue Rock Springs Park, not far from the first murder site. It was around midnight when another car pulled up beside them. A man emerged, shining a flashlight directly into their faces. Without any warning at all, he opened fire on the couple with a 9mm Luger. Michael was severely wounded but survived, while Darlene tragically died at the scene. But this time, the Zodiac didn't vanish into the night without a trace. Around 45 minutes later, the Vallejo Police Department received a chilling phone call. The caller claimed responsibility for both this attack and earlier murders of Farday and Jensen. The Zodiac had now officially introduced himself to the world. From here, things took a terrifying turn. The Zodiac began to play sick and very twisted games with the police and news reports in the media. The voice on the other end of the line, calm, collected, and eerily... He gave no name, but he didn't need to. He was setting the stage for what would become a reign of terror. He craved attention, and he got it when he caught that police station. Part 4. The Ciphers, a Cryptic Mind. After the second attack, the Zodiac's letter began arriving at the Bay Area newspapers, including San Francisco, Chronicle and the Examiner. But these weren't just any old letters. They included ciphers, complex puzzles that the killer insisted would reveal his identity if solved. He sent his first cipher on August 1st, 1969, a series of strange symbols and letters. The Zodiac claimed that if the code was cracked, it would reveal his true name. The killer demanded that the papers print the ciphers on the front page or he would kill again. Amateur code breakers and police alike scrambled to get this done and to make sense of these letters, but they couldn't. But just a week later, a high school teacher and his wife successfully cracked the code. The first cipher, the solution was chilling. The answer revealed, "I like killing people because it's so much fun." Part 5, Lake Berese, the Zodiac strikes again. September 27, 1969, Lake Berese, this attack deviated from the Zodiac's previous MO, showing a more theatrical side to his extreme madness. A young couple, Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd, were enjoying a relaxing day by the lake when they were approached by a man in a bizarre costume. He wore a hooded mask with a Zodiac symbol, a crosshair, and bezeled on his chest. He tied them up and then proceeded to stab them both repeatedly with the long knife. Brian miraculously survived the attack. But unfortunately, Cecilia would succumb to her injuries and wounds days later. In a sickening twist, the Zodiac carved a message into Brian's car door and left a scene. As if it wasn't enough, he called the police from a payphone to report the crime himself. Zodiac was escalating. His attacks were becoming more violent and his gains became more taunting. And the police frustration grew only stronger. Part 6. Paul Stein, the Zodiac's final confirmed kill. Just 2 weeks later, on October 11, 1969, the Zodiac struck again, this time in the heart of San Francisco. From afar, the secluded lover lanes, he previously targeted Paul Stein, a 28-year-old taxi driver, picked up in a fare in downtown San Francisco. His passenger directed him to a quiet intersection in the upscale neighborhood of Presidio Heights. Once they arrived, the passenger pulled out a gun and shot Stein in the head. The killer then took Stein's wallet, keys, and a piece of his shirt as a trophy. The murder was different. It didn't fit the Zodiac's previous pattern of targeting young couples in secluded areas. What even more terrifying was the fact that this crime took place in broad daylight, right in the middle of a bustling city. The Zodiac was becoming more bolder, more unpredictable, increasingly brazen in his need for attention. To add fuel to the fire, just days later, he sent another letter to the San Francisco Chronicle. This time, he included a swatch of Paul Stein's blooded shirt as proof. Part 7, The Aftermath, The Zodiac Disappears. After Paul Stein's murder, the Zodiac continued his taunt, sending more letters to the press, claiming responsibility for additional murders that have never been linked to him. He even began threatening school buses, promising to shoot out the tires and pick off the kiddies as they came bouncing out. But as quickly as he arrived on the scene, the Zodiac seemed to vanish. His confirmed killing spree came to an abrupt end. Though his letters continued until the early 1970s before fading away, over the years, the Zodiac had been linked to many unsolved crimes. But despite numerous suspects, endless investigation, the true identity of the Zodiac Killer remains a mystery. As we look back on the case of the Zodiac Killer, it is impossible not to feel a lingering sense of frustration and fascination that has captivated the world for more than half a century. The Zodiac wasn't just another serial killer. No, no. He was something more insidious. He wasn't driven by rage or revenge, but by an unsettling desire for control and mass attention. Each of his crimes was meticulously planned, and just not in the physical sense, but in how he would manipulate the minds of the public and authorities alike. It is rare to see a case where the killer is so involved in the narrative, crafting a person and toying with the world from behind the safety of anonymity. Most killers disappear after committing their crimes, trying to evade capture. No, no, but the Zodiac invited us to chase him. He craved the spotlight, fed off the terror he sowed, enjoyed watching law enforcement struggle to find him. Enjoyed watching the media struggle to crack his codes. Even the amateur sleuth scrambled to solve the puzzle he left behind. His letters weren't just communication. They were psychological weapons, designed to extend his reign of fear far beyond the physical acts of violence. And while the Zodiac's confirmed killings may have stopped, his legend only grew and opened more doors to more questions. The unsolved ciphers and tantalizing possibilities that one day we might uncover the truth have kept this case alive in a way few others have. There's something uniquely unsettling about a criminal who was so careful, so meticulous, that even decades of modern forensic science have definitely failed to crack his identity. It's almost as if Zodiac knew how to stay one step ahead, leaving just enough clues to keep us hooked, but not enough to reveal his true identity. The Zodiac Killer's impact wasn't just felt by the victims and their families, or even by the people of Northern California. It rippled across the entire country. He became a symbol of fear, of chaos, of the unknown. His actions during those years redefined what it meant to be a serial killer in this country we call America. He didn't just kill. He didn't just want to kill. He wanted to. He wanted to be remembered. In that respect, he has succeeded. As we come to a close of this episode, we're left on a haunting reality that the Zodiac Killer, whoever he was, may never be caught. He may have walked among us unnoticed, a ghost in broad daylight, evading justice, vanishing into history. But his crimes, his letters, and his ciphers live on, a very dark and terrifying legacy. It's easy to look at the Zodiac and see only the evil he left in his wake. But the case also reveals something deeper about us as a society. We're drawn to mysterious, especially those that are challenging to understand, in order to find justice. The Zodiac's ultimate weapon wasn't just his brutality. It was the question mark he left behind, the unanswered puzzles that taunt us even now. Many have spent their lives trying to answer those questions. Some have the greatest minds in law enforcement, couldn't get it. And forensics have dedicated themselves to unraveling this and breaking through his codes, but to no prevail. And that is what truly is terrifying, that he could still be out there, and that his identity might forever remain buried in the past. It's chilling to remember, and a chilling reminder, despite all of our advancements in technology and investigation techniques, sometimes the answers we seek are locked in times that will never be found. Thank you for joining me on this journey to uncover one of America's darkest serial killers. If this episode left you on the edge of your seat, then I hope it brings you right back. I encourage you to dive deeper. There are countless books, documentaries, and online communities still searching for the truth behind the Zodiac's true identity. Perhaps one of you listening right now will be the one to finally crack the case and finally bring down who the Zodiac Killer was and who he is till this day. As we always, if you enjoyed this episode, thanks so much for joining me, and I'm your host, DJ Traumatized, and I hope I left you traumatized.